Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
This is very, very important because you know there are some religions even to this day that are predicated on the announcement claiming of an angel and his message. Please understand, Paul said, God never contradicts his word. And if something shows up, and it's obviously, let's say it's even supernatural, and they begin to speak to you wisdom, but it doesn't line up with God's word, should we listen to that angel? What's the answer? Not at all. My personal opinion, I think as the time grows nearer and nearer for Christ's soon return, I think we're going to see some more supernatural stuff. I'm already aware of some of these Holy Spirit outpourings, and they describe some of the circumstances, and I always listen closely. Did they talk about people's sin and all of our need for a Savior and repentance? Well, what we really did is we worshiped a lot. Okay. Who sort of was the champion, as it were, of that time? Was it the Holy Spirit or was it Jesus Christ? Well, we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never, what, speak of himself, but will always point to, speak of, witness regarding whom, everybody? Back to 1 Kings. And I have literally heard the occasions of people saying, we have even been visited by an angelic presence. Now, I'm not doubting that they did, but I just want to let you know, when anyone claims that they have seen the angelic, number one, that's an extraordinary circumstance. Number two, that's not the typical way God speaks his truth. Amen? How does God speak his truth, everybody? God's word. And when people claim that they have seen an angel, I have learned over the years to ask, was there a gender? What do you mean, was there a gender? Did it appear male or female? Fascinatingly enough, typically they appear in these settings often as females. I don't see angels in the form of females in the scriptures. And in fact, many of what we would call non-biblical Christian cults that do have angelic founders, often their angelic visitors were female. It just doesn't line up with the scriptures. Many of us have people who are in the Mormon church. And if you know how the Mormon church kind of got started, as they describe it, young Joseph Smith Jr. near Palmyra, New York, was confused. And then he is reminded, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. So he goes into the nearby woods and calls out to God, Lord, I'm calling out for wisdom. And then he sees an angel. The question is, which one of these religions is correct? The answer from the angel, well, none of them. They are all apostate. Have patience, young Joseph Smith Jr., and I will reveal to you a book and some other understandings that will bring you into a fuller understanding of what God really wants you to do. Time out. Matthew 16. You are the Christ, says Peter, the Son of the living God. Well said, Peter, said Jesus. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, the idea that Jesus Christ is Messiah, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, said Jesus. It's in red letters. The angel, Moroni, says to Joseph Smith Jr., the question is, which of the churches are correct? The angel says, none of them. They have all fallen into apostasy. What does God's word say about that? It's not going to happen. Just because someone relates to you their bona fide supernatural encounter, and everybody has a ghost story, and almost everybody has a hair-raising tale of a full floating, full torso vaporous apparition. And I believe that a lot of people really do have those, can have those real encounters. But just because it's supernatural, does it necessarily equate to God's will? No. And we're coming up on the Halloween season. Remember how it works. Ghosts are not former humans. Amen? Very important. Because when Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man dies and he was an unrighteous man. He's taken to Sheol. And then the rich man looks across over there and he says, Father Abraham, can I leave this place and go up and tell my brothers about this awful place? Abraham says, nope, because once you are there, people don't move from the unrighteous dead side up to where the living are. If we see apparitions and bona fide bumps in the night and whatever it might be, even physical events that have actually happened in our house, we have had those. We've had stuff fly off the shelf. We have had bona fide poltergeist activity we have seen in our home. But it doesn't freak us out because we know who they are. They are not former humans. They are demons masquerading as former humans. Well, why would they do that? Because if they can convince you that I'm Uncle Ralph, and even tells you secrets that only you and Uncle Ralph knew, it's got to be Uncle Ralph. No, it's not. It's not a former human. It's a demon who used to hang out around Uncle Ralph and knows exactly where all the information is. So when in this Halloween season and they talk about ghosts and spirits and stuff, I pray that we at Harvest are well taught. Supernatural goings on do happen, but just because they're supernatural does not mean that they are godly. As a rule, God says, stay away from those things. Ouija boards and astrology, reading tea leaves, or reading the lumps in your melon, phrenology, whatever it might be, tarot cards, all those divining agents that the diviner says, we will tell you extrasensory, metaphysical information. Wouldn't you want to know who's in love with you, or who you're going to marry, or what business you should start? Be wary of all those things, because here's what God says. Trust in me with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. In all of your ways acknowledge me, and I will, says the word, guide your steps. This guy here at the end of verse 18, he's just flat lying. But the young man of God, how many times have we heard so far, by the word of God, by the word of God, by the word of God. The first guy, Jeroboam, he was easy. He was obviously Darth Vader and he was a creepazoid. This guy looks like a older, mature version of himself. We would say maybe the older, wiser, elder Christian who says, I know what's wise and I saw supernatural vision. The young guy, even though he might not have as many years on the planet as the older guy, what does he have? the Word of God. What should he have told this guy when he said, dude, I totally saw an angel, and the angel said you're supposed to come with me? What should the young man have said to him? No, with respect, old prophet, God's word trumps everything else. Amen? Verse 19. So he said, no, thank you. No, look what he did. So he went back with him. He bought it. And ate bread at his house and drank water. Oops. Now watch this, verse 20. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of God came to the old prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah saying, thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but came back, ate bread, drank water in the place which the Lord said you said, eat no bread nor drink and drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your father. You're going to die in an ignoble fashion. The guy's probably slurping his soup. I'm sorry, what did you say? Doesn't that seem like a dirty, rotten trick? And secondly, the old guy is the one who's lying. The old guy was the one who never stepped up, evidently, in the city of Bethel, and who never challenged the blatant sin of the king. Why is God speaking to that guy? The answer is, God can speak through whoever he wants. But also, for those of you taking notes, there's a couple other backslidden prophets that God spoke to. Jonah, in the belly of the great big fish, and Elijah. Remember when he took off and was hiding in the cave? What are you doing here, Elijah? There's nobody that loves you like I do. Nobody has it as hard as I do. I think I'll eat some worms and just die. God still spoke to him. There's something very important going on. Why is God going to be way rougher on the young man who obeyed God in such great precision with such great power? And why is he letting the old guy off with a proverbial slap on the wrist because he's going to have a bad conscience? Here's the answer. James chapter 3, verse 1. Be not many pastors and teachers, for they shall incur a greater judgment. That's not God saying, don't any of us ever step up or aspire to be teachers. It's just saying, realize that when you do, you have a tremendous responsibility. It's a great privilege to teach God's word like this. But whenever God allows a certain visibility for you, elders, bishops, pastors, the Bible teaches very clearly, you have a greater responsibility to do it right. Because if you don't, as we're going to see in a minute, God sees to it that your judgment, that is to say, his corrective process in your life, will be more publicly made aware. Let's see what happens. So they're eating. Glad to have you here, young buck. Boing, all of a sudden, young guy, what? God just spoke to me. You're toast. You invited me. You're the one with the angel story. Would that be a good excuse for the young prophet? Nope, because the word of God has said. Verse 23. So it was that after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him. Here, you can use my donkey. You're not going to last long, but here's my donkey. The prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. Wow. And his corpse was thrown on the road. And the donkey stood by the lifeless body of the prophet. And the lion then sat also by the corpse. On the road. Is that an unusual sight? Because as a rule, if the lion kills anything, what does he do with it? He eats it. And if there's a donkey not moving out of the way, that's just hors d'oeuvres and dessert on the other side of the prophet. So we have this lion sitting there, but he's not eating the dead guy. And then you have the donkey sitting there. That's what you call an unnatural sight. So somebody trucking by, what's up, lion, donkey, dead guy? Why is this? It is a sign. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be careful, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And remember, whenever the Bible uses a metaphor, a model, a simile, and then explains it in some other location, even if it explains, like the case we're seeing here, a lion, it doesn't matter. Whenever the Bible explains a metaphor, the metaphor always stands for that whenever it's employed. This is a real lion. But put your Jesus glasses on. This is a representative, a model of who? The devil. Now, a donkey, remember, is a beast of burden. It is a servant. And very often, a donkey is literally used in the metaphoric sense of service or ministry. And now a dead prophet. Can you see with me, this is a powerful model. When we don't do what God's word says, even if an older, more mature, whatever, Christian says, and we believe that or our feelings or our circumstances above God's word, here's what will happen. The devil is very nearby. You have an empty donkey. A ministry undone, unaccomplished. And what about the man of God? What's his condition? He's dead. What a powerful, powerful, powerful picture. Verse 25. And there, men passed by, and they saw the corpse thrown on the road. And then they saw the lion standing by the corpse. And then they went and they told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, "Oh man, is it the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord?" Yeah, because of you. I think his conscience is bothering him. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn and killed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, "Boy, saddle up the donkey for me." They did. Verse 28. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey... service. The ministry is idle. And the lion, the works of the devil are not far behind when any of us choose relationship, favor, bias, preference over God's word. The devil will be right there. Standing by the corpse, the lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. And this is not natural. This is a sign. Verse 29. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey. By the way, I suspect we will see this man in heaven. It's my supposition that though he messed up, his heart was for the Lord. And I believe we will see this man in heaven. I really do. Laid it on the donkey, brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse on his own tomb. And they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." Bizarre rhetoric, wouldn't you say, for what he had done? Is this the old prophet truly lamenting? Could be. Or is he doing a little grandstanding here? Mourning loudly and wailing for the guy that he himself sunk. Don't know. Verse 31. So it was later that he had buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the shrines and the high places which are in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. Verse 33. And after this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way. No matter how much the supernatural visits a person, if their heart really is to please self and promote one's own self, this is where it goes. But again, he made priests from every class of the people for the high places, the golden calf stuff. Whoever wished, he consecrated them. And he became one of the priests of the high places. Remember, there's no respect for the proper training and exemplary life of proper priests. And what's this going to do? This is going to open up God's wrath. Verse 34, and this thing was the sin of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. And we'll see that next week. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for this, at first, kind of a bizarre story. Well, why did the young guy get dealt with by the Lord in such a public, maybe even a bit humiliating way? What's that about? It's a stern and powerful and loving picture to all people who stand up and teach your word and in any way represent God to the folks or the folks to the Lord. It's a very important and responsible position. Why didn't God strike the old guy? Why did he get the relatively small slap on the hands of maybe a guilty conscience? My supposition is, it's a great privilege to stand before the Lord. It's a great privilege to teach the Word of God, whether in a room like this, to 20,000, or even a home fellowship. A great and important responsibility, a tremendous blessing. But God says, I have to be regarded as holy. So Lord, I want to lift up the pulpits in our own Truckee Meadows, in Reno, Sparks, and the valleys. I want to pray, Lord, for the pastors who take on a significant responsibility every Sunday morning or midweek study. And I want to pray, Lord God, your hedge of protection to be around them all. Lord God, that you would raise up around these men elders that will speak the truth in love, that will hold these men accountable and encourage them and have their back for the relentless attacks of the evil one against the men of God in our community. And even though not all the pulpits are the same flavor as us, I'm reminded in the book of Revelation of the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Some of those churches are doing better than others, and some of those were flat missing it. But which one of those churches did Jesus love? He loved them all. Jesus loves his church and moves through them. Thankfully, even in spite of the coconut that might be at the steering wheel. I want to take this opportunity, Lord, to pray for these pastors. I want to pray, Lord God, for Pastor Tom Lutweiler at Calvary Chapel and thank you for his teaching the word. For Pastor Brent Brooks at Reno Christian Fellowship. For Pastor Scott Parker, Sparks Christian Fellowship. Those are the ones that just sort of come to my mind, Lord. I pray for the pastors of all the churches in our area, of the Rock Church, Lord God, of Sierra Bible Church, as they look for their pastor. Lord God, for Living Stones, Lord God, for South Reno Baptist and Pastor Taylor. I pray, Lord God, for all the pastors in our community that literally get up every morning and pray and try to hear God, to represent you to the precious folks. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the leadership, spiritual leadership in this community. I thank you for the amazing grace poured out. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.